Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please, to 1 Samuel, the Old Testament, fairly close to the beginning. 1 Samuel, chapter 12. I appreciate you being here this morning. We've been studying in Mark, where it talks about Jesus came to preach the good news of the gospel. But when he came, the first thing he said was, repent and believe the gospel. John the Baptist came preparing the way of the Lord, preparing the way for the Lord to come into our hearts. And the way we prepare the way of the Lord to do a work is by repentance. Seeing that is not us, seeing is not our power, nor our might, nor our strength, nor our wisdom, nor our intellect, nor our forces, but it's God. We must come humbly before a holy and a righteous God. I want to begin reading here this morning at verse number 6, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 12. I can give you a chapter today. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 6. I'm going to move quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 6. The Israelites have come out of Egypt. God has delivered them. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, not because God wanted them to, but because they didn't think God could take care of them in the promised land. But then he watched God take care of them in the wilderness. Think about that. If God can't take care of them in the promised land, how are they going to take care of them in the wilderness? But they'd rather stay in the wilderness rather than go into the promised land. Finally, Joshua takes them into the promised land. God blesses. As long as Joshua and his generation are around, they do well. Joshua and his generation die, and we come into the time of the judges, where every man did that which was right in his own eyes, because there was no king in Israel when the Lord was to be their king. Samuel comes on the very end of that time of the judges. And the people said, you know, we're having a mess. We've gone up, we've been down, but we need God to do something, but we said, here's how we're going to do it. We want a king like all the other nations. They wanted government. Think about that. They wanted government. And so we come to that point here in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, verse 6. And Samuel said, verse 6, said unto the people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore, stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was coming to Egypt, that's how they ended up in there in the first place, and your fathers cried unto the Lord when they had become slaves to the Egyptians, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them to the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab, and they fought against them. And when they cried unto the Lord and said, we have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord, and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth, but now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Baadan and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, that came against you, ye said unto me, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now, therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. And if ye will fear the Lord, and serve him, and obey his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, And he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not. For we have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Yet, turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then shall ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Let's pray. I've got the title I'm preaching under is Only Under God, from our program, Only Under God. I have a subtitle I want you to think about, and it's this. Have you noticed the wheat is wet? Have you noticed the wheat is wet? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for your truth. We have just a few moments here, Lord, but I pray that what's said and done here will stir our hearts and our souls. Now, I understand, and there's maybe folks in this congregation sitting in the pew thinking, well, what can I do? I mean, I see a lot of these things happening, but what can I do? Well, Lord, you're just asking each of us to do what you have put in our laps to do. We have influence where we are. We have a testimony where we are. We have a obligation and a duty where we are to touch the lives and the hearts of the people around us, to live in a way that's right and true, to fear the Lord, so that others will understand, to take the message and the truth and the warnings of the Word of God to the next generation, to bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And Lord, we need to do this. And no, we individually cannot do anything, but together we can make an impact on our area and possible. Lord, we pray for our nation, that churches all over our nation will just stand up and decide we're not going to acquiesce to the vain things that the world has followed, but that we're going to stand on truth and righteousness, even when sometimes that brings negative reactions from those around us. Lord, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, be one here this morning that doesn't know Christ. Again, I ask that you give them that word in their own heart, that they'll come and realize their need for salvation. Lord, this can be considered a negative message, but Lord, it's actually a positive message, because you are still willing. You said, yes, there's been great wickedness, yet if we will still follow you and we will do as you have commanded us to do, you will again bless. And so, Lord, we know that actually there's hope in this message. So, Lord, we give the message and time to you, and I pray that you'll do in each of our hearts, to stir our hearts to do what we can do within the context of where you've put us. Lord, give us your wisdom, give us your vision. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. We have some farmers in our congregation. Farming is business that is greatly dependent upon the blessings of God. The weather and the climate have much to do with the success of their crops. It has to rain at the proper time and the proper amount. The sun has to shine at the proper time. Temperature has much to do with the success of the crop. Just a few degrees one way or the other can mean the difference between a successful crop and a failure. There's an old saying that says you have to make hay while the sun shines. And we can work hard and put forth much effort and sow good seed and harvest the crops, but it's still God who makes it all work. We work under God's heaven and under God's blessing. These things will work fine, but they only work under God. God has great plans for us. He has great plans for you. God has a great plan for your family. God has great plans for our nation. So we ask, if God has great plans, then why are we seeing such tragedies? God's plans work, but only when we work under God. First thought I want you to see here this morning, number one, Samuel had kept his testimony. Samuel was the prophet of God. A prophet is someone who tells us what God wants us to know. A priest was someone who takes man to God, intercedes between the man. But the prophet is the one who tells us what God wants us to know. It may be forthtelling, just simply pronouncing some things we already know. It may be foretelling, telling us some things that God's going to do. Of course, foretelling and forthtelling is no difference to God because he's eternal. He's an eternal past, eternal future. It's all the same to him. So he's giving the word of God. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1, I want to read some verses to you, right at the beginning of the chapter. It says, "And Samuel said unto all Israel," Samuel, he said, "Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you." Now he's saying that, you know, you asked for a king, and God said, go ahead and give him a king. Verse 2, "And now behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind my eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you." Basically, he's saying this. I've been telling you the truth all along. You could say this is the preacher. He's saying to the people, now, I've been telling you, why in the world would you want to turn from the word of God to some king, some man? He says, have I ruined my testimony that you don't want to hear what I have to say? Have what I've been saying just going out one ear because I've messed up? He says, in verse 4, "And they said, thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and has anointed his witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, he witnessed." He is witness. He said, okay, I just want you to know, God gave the word, and I gave it to you. I haven't muddied the testimony, haven't muddied the word. Just want to make sure you understand that. Before you walk away from God being your king, I just want you to remember we hadn't messed up on our side. See, Samuel's been faithful to preach the truth. Samuel hasn't ruined his effectiveness by ruining his testimony. Samuel cannot be blamed for the nation turning from God to a man for leadership. In fact, 1 Samuel 8, 7, when all this kind of was coming back around, the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me," the Lord says, "that I should not reign over them." We're real close to that in this nation if we haven't already gone over that line. Not all this stuff. The fact is, you boil it all down, they don't want God telling them what to do. They'll do anything, even the absurd, to try to prove they can do as they please, when they please, how they please. And no God is going to tell them what to do. It was not Samuel who drove the people of Israel to seek an earthly king. And the people agree. But they have still sought a human king of their own free will. Now, I understand we have some clergy in our nation that have been charlatans over the years. I know there have been. I know some have bilked people for their money. I know that some are looking for position and power, preaching what the people want to hear rather than the truth. But there are some that have been consistent giving out the truth. And when it's all said and done, most people will go back to the Bible and say, well, I know this is where it all came from. But the people may not always appreciate the truth, but there are some who are faithful in the truth. And the truth has been preached. The problem is they've refused to hear the preaching. Ezekiel 2:5 says, "And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. He told Ezekiel, when you get ready to go preach to all the Israelites and the Jews, and he says, I don't know what, he says, there could be some's going to hear, some's not going to hear. But you let them know that there was a real life prophet of God who was talking to them. There's no excuse. So Samuel kept his testimony. Number two, God has kept his word and his testimony. God has kept his word. Look at verse 6. And Samuel said unto people, it is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. In other words, our initial salvation came from God. By the way, it's amazing how many good people over the years get a little bit tired of fighting and acquiesce to what the world is saying, and they kind of give in, water it down, mesh it all up, give them pablum. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You can get sued for hurting people's feelings now. It's like, well, if you don't agree with me, so you must hate me, I can sue you. Well, if I don't agree with you, that means you don't agree with me. Right? You hurt my feelings, I can sue you. I'll countersue. You see the craziness that we have come to in this nation? Craziness. God brought about this nation. Were the people perfect? No, neither was Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or David, or Solomon. None of them. Why? Because of his name. He knew that there was enough people who followed God and feared God, whether they were even saved or not, that they were going to set this nation upon biblical foundations and carve it in stone all over our capital. It is embedded in almost every document of the founding of every state of this nation. You cannot, unless you're an idiot, blinded, refusing to see truth, you cannot deny this nation was founded on biblical principles. You heard the quotes here a little while ago. That's who brought us out. Psalm 75:6 says this, for the promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another. Daniel 2:20, Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and forever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. George Washington said in his Thanksgiving Proclamation, 1789, our sincere and humble thanks for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war. What he was saying was God is the one who got us through this. Benjamin Franklin, 1784, said, if it had not been for the justice of our cause and the consequent interposition of providence, speaking of God, in which we had faith, we must have been ruined. At the Constitutional Convention in 87, he spoke, and this is what he says, the frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. Listen, this didn't happen by chance. And that word providence each time is capitalized. It is God working on the behalf of man. Benjamin Franklin goes on and says, in this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it, when to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbling, applying to the Father of lights to illuminate our understanding. Says, we're having trouble. We haven't even prayed about this yet. In the beginning of the context with Great Britain, he goes on to say, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard. And they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. In other words, we get to even, I mean, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be here today trying to figure out how to write the Constitution. It says, and have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? Can you imagine what it's like? Benjamin Franklin standing there, and he goes on and says, I've lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. And I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little partial local interest, politics. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future age. Everybody's going to look and say, America tried to, but history books says it doesn't work. So we're going to be a reproach. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Samuel, in our passage, verse 7, witnesses to like interactions by God. It says now, verse 7, now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was coming to Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord set Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. In other words, God delivered. And when they forgot the Lord, their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, and into the hand of the Philistines, and the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. In other words, they did wrong again, got themselves in trouble. Verse 10. And they cried unto the Lord, and he said, we have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Balaam and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of the enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel and Baden and Jephthah and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. God delivered them again. Remember that. God delivered them again and again and again and again. You read a book of Judges, and again and again and again. And God can deliver us again. But only under God. Number 3, the people decided that man was a better king than the Lord. The people decided that a man was a better king than the Lord. Look at verse 12. And when he saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, he said to me, nay, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. 1776, the Lord God was our king. Did everybody like the king? No. Did everybody like King David? No. But David was king. God blessed that man. Listen, God was to be our king. The fact the way our government was established was that the group of men, the accumulation of the man's wisdom, was the beginning, the wisdom, the understanding of God. Not one man ruling over, but for them to get the mind of God. So this time they decided God wasn't what they needed or what they were looking for. So in spite of history, they thought God was not enough to fight against man, which, by the way, God created. But God's not big enough to fight against him. So they asked for a man to rule over them, and they got what they asked for. Look at verse 13. Now therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen, whom ye have desired. Behold, the Lord has set a king over you. Now this was not really what they should have done. They've set up a government to rule over them, as we have. By the way, Thomas Jefferson said, And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath? He goes on, Thomas Jefferson, indeed I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever. They decided that man was a better king than God. Number four. Ready? But God is faithful. How many times as a kid do we mess up, go against, break the rules of the house, and yeah, we got in trouble with mom and dad, and yet mom and dad still loved us. See, here's how it works. God, listen to me, God is even willing to work within the context of human government if the human government is willing to work within the context of God's law. Even though God was not happy about them asking for a human king, God is still willing to work within the context of that decision. Look what it says in verse 14. If you will fear the Lord. This is where we are. Are we going too far? No, we're still breathing. If we will fear the Lord. What does that mean? Realize who the Lord Jehovah is, the self-existing one, the God of all creation. If we will revere Him. In other words, because of our understanding of the position and the power of God, we are going to be circumspect and deliberate in what we do and how we do it and with what attitude we do it. We ought to fear the Lord. You remember what it was in school? The teacher would go out of the room for a few moments and everybody would go bananas. As soon as they heard that doorknob creak, poof, they scattered like a bunch of roaches back to their seats. You know why? They feared the teacher. They didn't really think the teacher was going to come around. Well, maybe some of them. We're going to come around and smack them around. But they knew a position. They knew the power. They knew the authority. They knew the wrath. They knew the consequences. He says, you know what? If you realize who it is you're dealing with here, first thing. Then he says, watch, and serve Him. If you will fear the Lord and serve Him. That's the word bond slave. Enslave oneself to choose to be in bondage to God. Allow God to call the shots. God has veto power in our lives. You're going to serve Him, not me, not you, not political interests. Not in what happens to be convenient at the time. Not serving my pocketbook. Not serving my pride. But serving God. Make my decisions based on who God is. That's how it's supposed to be done. And I'll be honest with you. I think that's what our nation is so fed up with. Because I'm getting political here. But I think there's some of that on both sides of the aisle. Serving self. They don't want anybody to come in there and mess up their party. There's way too many backroom deals. I'll vote for you if you vote for me. How about voting for God? How about voting for truth? How about voting for the welfare of the people? We've sold ourselves downstream. And we're afraid anybody's going to come in there. And the fact is, I'm not endorsing anybody. I don't want you to come back and say, preacher, what in the world did you do to us? I'm not endorsing anybody. But I think that's where we are right now. That's why they're so fed up with it all. Playing games. He said, if you're going to fear the Lord, serve Him. Watch. Look at the verse. Obey His voice. Do what He says. Pay attention to doing what God says. How you do that? Find out what He says. And then you do it. Rocket science. Then it says, and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. That word rebel means bitter, provoked. Do it with a good attitude. I can't do it. God wants to do it. I can't do it. Can't do it because God doesn't want to do it. He doesn't have your heart. He says you'll seek him, you'll find him when you search for him with all your heart, her whole heart. You don't go with your whole heart, you're not searching for him, and you can't claim the promise of finding him. You're not looking for him. You're looking for an ease. You're looking for something to ease some problems, to let go of some issue that you've started on yourself. Don't expect it. It's time for us to grow up. Or a bunch of little babies. Oh, well, I heard you. Listen, take responsibility for yourself. Our nation needs to take responsibility. We individually need to take responsibility. He says, if you will fear the Lord, serve him, obey his voice, not rebel. Watch. Then shall both ye and also the king shall reigneth over you, continue following the Lord your God. Now that means, that word continue following means shall exist in the state of staying right behind Jehovah, who is your God. If you obey him, you'll serve him, just stick right there with him. Don't get ahead of him. Don't get behind. Don't get beside of him. Stay right behind him. Walk in his steps. You ever do that as a kid? Your father or your mother is walking in the snow, and they take a walk, and so you're going to step in their steps where he steps. It's sometimes a little difficult. Sometimes you got to stretch a little bit, but you're not going to get snow down your shoes. And if he steps and he's still doing fine, then I can step there and I'll do fine. That's what he's saying. Step where he steps. Follow right where he is. Do what he said. But look at verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, you're not going to listen to what God tells you to do. But you're going to rebel. You're going to get bitter. You're going to resist the commandment. You get an attitude. Start doing your own thing. It says, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. It says, you're not going to fare any better than those who rebelled against God before. He's just as big today as he was before. Do you need some convincing? Man, look what time it is. He says, do you need some convincing? Look at verse 16. My point is this. Watch me. If your wheat is wet, it could be that God is trying to get your attention. Watch. There's a direct correlation between current events and the work of God. Benjamin Franklin said, God governs in the affairs of men. There are people all over this nation, the political correct, and hey, I'm sorry, we trying to be nice Christians, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, have acquiesced to this. Listen, there's things going on in our nation, has been for years. There was a big one on 9/11 that's trying to get our attention, and we want to deny it. Verse 16, now therefore stand and see this great thing. He says, all right, stand here and watch. Watch me. That's what he says. See this great thing. You know what that means? A turn of events, a twist of events. I want you to see something here. See this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call on the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people feared the Lord and Samuel. Now, see, what's the big deal? At that time of year, it hardly ever rains. Like, never rains. I mean, it's like never rains. And so when Samuel says, all right, looks good today, it's going to rain. And just like Elijah, he prayed for rain, and it rained. And it rained. And I said, oh, my soul. Now, wait a minute. Several things. What is it going to take for God to get our attention? You know, he doesn't want to do more than a rainstorm. But see, a rainstorm comes by and we shrug it off and we forget that God works in the affairs of men. Listen. Everybody in our nation, almost everyone, when those towers came down on 9/11, They got on their knees. They got out. They got on the other government steps. And everybody, hand in hand, God bless America. What do you mean, God bless? He's telling us, I can't bless you right now. They're worried about the blessings and saying, Father, forgive us. That's what they should have been praying. Not God bless America. Not God give us, God make it nice for us anyway. They should have been on their knees in repentance. 2 weeks later, they're back there deciding how they're going to tear babies apart. He says, I want you to see something. Now watch this. You know what the rain does? A few weeks ago, someone said that, Tim, you said, I heard you saying you had to get the crops in because it was going to rain. You get them down, you got to get them in and out before it rains during harvest time. What happens when it rains on your field when it's right about harvest time? Ruins the crops. Either knocks it down, or if you've already cut it, it rots. Am I pretty close? Yes, sir. You know about that stuff. Rots. Well, just coincidence. Bad luck. God governs in the affairs of men. And our early founders had enough sense to know that. And we've forgotten that. God wants us to see that it is a great sin to trust ourselves. Our nation or some government, some president, NATO, United Nations, even our own weaponry to protect us and provide for us rather than the God that brought this nation into being in the first place and has sustained us all these years. Wet wheat spoils the crop. It's been raining down problems on our nation for some years now, and somehow we've forgotten the message. Remember the Oklahoma bombing? Timothy McVeigh? That was a long time ago. Two towers come down on 911. Shootings and bombings all over our nation. And we want our freedom from God, and He's allowing us to see what it really means. Have you seen what freedom from God means in your own lives, in your homes, your marriages? It's not pretty. It can be devastating. The sin is trusting in government or man rather than the power of God. Verse 19, all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants and the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. To think that king or any other person is our hope is an evil thing. Number 6, I'm almost done. I know it's late. Verse 20, and Samuel said unto people, isn't this a wonderful thing? Fear not. Why could he say fear not? Because they just confessed their sins. When we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He that hideth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. That means, though, as close as we are to falling off the edge, he still wants to be merciful and save us right there. So we're too far gone. We're not too far gone because God's not gone. God's still alive, so hope's still alive. He says, Samuel said to the people, fear not. Ye have done all this wickedness. Verse 20. Bad. This wickedness, bad, evil, good for nothing. Yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Not just your hands, not just with your lips, not in a vain show, but with the heart of who you are. Listen, we may have done wickedly in the past, but he says, if we will do right starting right now, God starts over with us right now. We do it from the heart. I'm almost done. Number 7, we cannot play games about this. Verse 21, he says, turn not aside. Stick to it. Don't get off. Don't go chasing some pipe dreams. For then should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. In other words, if you're not serving the Lord, you will find yourself serving a bunch of nothing that's going to get you nowhere. You can't get good things out of bad things. As soon as we start trusting things and people rather than God, before we know it, we will be off on all kinds of crazy, bizarre, irrational tangents, looking for truth in every rat hole we can find it. When truth is forsaken, all other philosophies become feasible for some reason. It's amazing what we will believe if we refuse to trust in God. I had someone tell me just recently that evolution is a fact. I said, how do you know? It was in the books. Well, who wrote the books? And he wanted to discredit the Bible because it was written by men. Well, who was his books written by? Mine was authored by God. It might have been written down by a man. It was authored by God. You go ahead and you don't know the book if you can say that. Listen, it's a fact. Well, we've learned it since elementary. I was thinking about this morning. I know it's time to go. This is crazy. All this transgenderism, this and that, and the other thing. Can you imagine we're going to be in the delivery room in the hospital? The baby's born. The mother just gives birth, and the baby is born. The doctor says to the father, "Well, congratulations, sir. You are the proud father of a." Well, when he's 12 or 13, we'll decide what gender he is. We don't know anymore. How absurd, bizarre is this? Just because God doesn't beat us up, though, over our disobedience, doesn't mean God condones it. Look at verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. This was one nation under God. Nothing would please God for us to continue to be one nation under God. And if we will go back and be under God, he has no problem taking care of our nation. So let's get back under God. We did wrong. The wheat's getting wet. By the way, is wheat getting wet in your home? Maybe your home's not under God. Are you living under God? I don't know. Is your wheat getting wet? Let's admit that what we've been doing, that it's wrong, and we move on. We need to continue to preach and pray. Verse 23, moreover, as for me, Samuel says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and cease to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. That's what every preacher from every pulpit, every Sunday school teacher, every worker, every helper, every Christian in our nation should be proclaiming truth. You proclaim it in your home. Do the kids know that you stand for God, or don't you stand enough for God for them to know it? Remember how we got here. Verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I know these folks have been very patient with me here this morning. This might sound like a depressing message, but Lord, it's a hopeful message. There's hope because you are hope. There's life because you're life. There's hope, and this can still work. But Lord, we have to get under God. Lord, speak to our hearts. Now, your head's bowed and your eyes are closed. Listen, our government is not bigger than God. Sometimes I think America believes that our nation and its government can protect us from all forces, even protect us from the wrath of God. I know it might be bad, and natural disasters are getting more than ever, but America has pride, and we can get through it. Pride is our problem. Listen, if God's not on your side, then you need to change sides. If God's not on your side, you need to change sides. Don't shrug off the signals or the coincidences. Fear God. Get back on his commands. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, your Savior. Let's start with that. Are you his child? Are you his child? Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Lord, speak to our hearts. Piano organ's going to play. Lord, spoken to your heart. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed.